We need your Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit is the one who brought us here, who gathered us together from all parts of the world to take a journey. What was it to becoming the woman I want to be? And the man. We got some men. To becoming the people that we really want to be. And we look at our lives and we see the gap between where we are now and where we want to be. And we understand now that the habits, the patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving that have got us to where we are right now, those same patterns are never going to get us to where you're calling us to be. So that's what really needs to change. We need to change how we think. And who would have thought of that? Oh, wait, if we read the Bible, we would know. Because you tell us right there in your word. If we want to be transformed, begins with the renewing of our minds. There's not a magical diet plan that's just going to solve all these problems. We need to be transformed from the inside out and renewed in our mind. So God, I thank you for the work that you've done, and I just felt really encouraged this morning. And I thank you, God. So I just salute you as fellow believers on this journey. Those who are determined to be set apart and to live differently. I salute you. And I bless you. And I speak blessings over your life. Because if you were content to just go with the flow and, you know, be mediocre, you wouldn't be listening to me right now, because you know perfectly well that you were meant for more. And I was reading last night, this is still kind of the prayer. I was reading last night that frustration, which is my number one enemy. I'll be honest. Frustration. That is like the thing that takes Donna down. Stop trying to get things done. And things are blocking my way. And I was reading in a book last night that said, frustration, that is great news. I'm like, what? I'm praying over here like, Lord, deliver me from this frustration. Show me how to conquer this. And they're like, oh, frustration, that's a great sign. Because listen to this. This is crazy. But it makes so much sense. If you're frustrated, are you frustrated with yourself? Come on, just let's get real. You a little frustrated with where you are right now? It's a good sign. You know why? Because if you didn't know deep inside, if your brain and your heart didn't know that you were capable of so much more, if you didn't know and understand that you were meant for more, you wouldn't be frustrated. How cool is that? Frustration is you telling you were meant for more. You know it. You know God has better. Because if you weren't experiencing frustration, you'd just be in a state of capitulation. Like, oh, well, that's it. That's me. Too bad. So sad. Deal with it. I don't care. Right? You'd be apathetic. All of our emotions are a clue to something. Now, obviously, now if we sin, preach to myself for a minute, Donna, if we get frustrated and that leads us to, you know, a bad place, then that's not cool. But notice, all of your emotions are a powerful clue. Getting a little bit ahead. But so notice your emotions. And I'm halfway into the teaching at this point. So God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with me today. Help me to be clear and to issue a clarion call to your people to finish strong. That's what I'm here to do today. So Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for your power. I just pray that your glorious power and renewing power would flow to and through your people. That they would be filled with the hope of your glory. filled with the hope of your glory. That there's more. They were born for more. That the person they see in the mirror and the number they see on the scale and the dress size they see in the closet, that's not the whole story. There's so much more that they were born for. So much more that they are capable of, because they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, and they have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and they can solve the problems in their life. They can solve the puzzles. They can resolve the mysteries of why do I keep going around this mountain? Because they have that the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And there's so much hope and there's so much grace. And this isn't over, not by a long shot. We don't need the opinion of the enemy here. We don't care what he has to say. Okay, he's defeated. Holy Spirit, there's only one voice we want to hear, and it is yours. So would you speak to your children right now and whisper to each one, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Enter into the joy right now, wherever you are. Would you enter into the joy? Would you just, again, lift up your hands and say, God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I rejoice right now. I rejoice right now in every small change I've made. I rejoice right now in every moment that I have chosen to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to say yes to the call of God on my life. I rejoice right now in everything that I have allowed God to show me about myself and the changes I need to make. We enter into the joy of the journey. We enter into the joy of understanding that this is a thing called life. This is life. This is a lifelong process. It's not about a specific outcome. It's not about a number on the scale or the number on a tag in an outfit. This is about you being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. This is about the Holy Spirit doing a work of meeting you right where you are right now, filling you with the joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit includes joy. Filling you with joy, and that joy becoming your strength, and picking yourself up right now, dusting yourself off, and running to that finish line for these 90 days. And then guess what? There's another race starting about 2 minutes later. It's called life. It's called life. There's always going to be another race to run. It's always going to be another mountain to climb. It's an adventure. Okay, great. What did you learn in these 90 days? Okay, super. What did you accomplish? Fantastic. Yay you. Did you make a friend? Did you come out of hiding at all? What good things, what great things, what God things have happened in your life? Whatever is good, whatever is excellent, praiseworthy. Think about those things. That's how we enter into the joy. That's it. That's the plan. You think about those things. You think about the things you've done right. You think about the victories that you've won. And that's how you enter into the joy. And with that strength from that joy, you get the energy to get another victory. This is how you live. This is the new you. And that new you is going to throw aside the weight. I don't know if it's going to be next week. I don't know if it's going to be next month. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but I am telling you right now, you will throw aside the weight. You will. You will. Why? Because how are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And right now, at this very nanosecond, your mind is being renewed because the Holy Spirit, wow, the Holy Spirit is releasing his power. And he's changing your mind about you. Holy Spirit is saying, child, if I show you something about you that I want to work together with you to change, it's not because I hate you. It's not because I'm picking on you. It's not because I'm out to get you. It's because I see glory in you. I see greatness in you. And the things I show you that we're going to work on together, it's all for your good. It's the Father's pleasure that you would be transformed into radiant, glorious, filled with the glory of God, filled with the glory of God, face uplifted, tears streaming, glistening in the light. He sees you glorious. This is for all of you. God is for you. God is for you. God didn't bring you to the 90-day renewal to tell you everything that's wrong with you and what a loser and a failure and how you'll never change and you didn't move that scale. What's wrong with you? You got to get with the program. No, that's not it. Not even remotely. He brought you here because he loves you. He adores you, and he sees glory. He sees greatness. You don't need to hide anymore. Don't stop hiding from God. He loves you. He's for you. It's okay. Does this make complete sense? I hope this makes complete sense what I'm saying. If the Holy Spirit is showing you something that your stuff just is, the things it just is. That's your pain. Those are your hang-ups. Those are your patterns. Whatever they are, they are. So just so much better to agree with God and say, yeah, that you're right. That is the thing that needs to change. Okay, well, then let's change it. God only reveals to heal. So whatever God has revealed about you is not like him saying, oh, gee, I finally figured out what's wrong with this kid. No, it's God saying, look, I've been seeing this in you. Now let's work together and let's move forward. And so maybe I think what I'm saying is that this, the Holy Spirit has been stirring and he's been revealing. This has really just been a revealing season. He's revealing. He's showing you what the issues are. He's showing you what the hindrances are so that you can throw them aside, right? We need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. But how can we throw off the things that hinder and the things that entangle until we come face to face with the things that hinder and the things that entangle? What are the things that need to be thrown aside? Guess what? When you throw it off, it's gone and the weight and the scale has no choice. Okay, so let me give you an example. Here's what they do. I'm just warning you, just so you know, okay? When you get to that tiny little plane that takes you, from the main island to the little island, they make you get on the scale with your carry-ons as everyone watches. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there you are. Come on, now picture this. This is great. I have a picture of it from last year. I'm sure we'll find it somewhere. You get on the scale holding your luggage. And that scale shows you not just what you weigh, but what you, with all the luggage that you just have to carry on that plane, what that combined is. And I'm telling you right now, That number on that scale, I'm like, that's not what I weigh. They go, no, people. No, please, believe me. I have, like, my carry-on is all books, okay? So that's not what I weigh. That's like the weight of all these books. It's what I'm carrying. Please. Do you hear me? And when you get on that scale tomorrow, okay, hopefully you only get in once a week, right? The next time you get on the scale, I want you to have that picture. I'm gonna go find it. That silly picture of me standing on the scale with all my luggage. And I want you to see it. That's what, with that number that you're seeing on the scale right now, that's not just you. No way. That number is you and all the luggage that you are taking as your carry-ons on the flight of life. And you know what's amazing? All I had to do is put down all that luggage, get back on the scale, and that's what I really weigh. Come on now. This is good. I'm preaching better than I thought I would today. I stole that from Joyce Meyer. that number on that scale, that's not what you weigh. That's what you plus all the stuff you're carrying on with you. That's what that number is. So what do you have to do? Come on. Now, when you put all that luggage down, then you're going to be left with what you really weigh, your true weight. What are the hindrances? What are the patterns of thinking and behaving that have to go? Because when you set them down, when you throw aside the weight, the scale, I mean, that scale had to move, right? When I put down all the luggage, the scale had to move. It's the same with you. So anyway, that was the opening prayer. I wonder what time it is. I have no idea. Let me see. I should probably pay attention. Oh, wow. That was quite a prayer. Amen. Did I say amen? I never remember to say amen. Okay, so here we go. This actually happened in one of the other classes, but someone was sharing about, pain and remembering a lot of pain from a first marriage. They went through divorce, now a second marriage. And she was talking about all the pain of her first marriage and how it was affecting her second marriage. And I just had one of those Donna moments. I said, well, you got to fill 4-8-em. You got to fill 4-8-em. So I write this down. Fill, I put F-I-L-L, fill, 4, number 4, 8. And then I put EM, fill 4-8-em. You got to fill 4-8-em. What does that mean? Philippians 4:8. So whenever you start thinking something negative and discouraging and destructive about someone for your past, you got to fill 4-8-em. You have a slave master relationship with your thoughts. These are the things I really want you to take away now, okay? You have a slave master relationship with your thoughts. You will either be a slave to your thoughts or you will master your thoughts. There's no other option. It's a slave-master relationship. And a lot of you are slave to your thoughts. Whatever pops into your precious little head, you just run with it. Even if it doesn't line up with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is a test. Are you ready? I'm going to read it again. I want you to tell me, is this a suggestion or a command? Let's try it again. And that's who you have to vote. You can vote. Raise your hand for number one if you think it's a great suggestion. And then if not, raise your other hand and because you think it's a command. And I know I'm being silly, but this is important. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Does it say, well, maybe, occasionally? No, it's a command, right? This is a command. And you're like, well, it is true. My parents abused me. That's true. But I don't think that's the meaning of the word. I think that true is not just, it means like true as far as lining up with what God says. That's what's really true. Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it excellent? Is it helping you? Are the thoughts you're thinking helping you? If they are not helping you, if they are not serving you, why are you thinking them? Stop. And I know it's easier said than done, but that is also a command. It is a command. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a command. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient. Take captive every thought to make it obedient. So that's really proactive, isn't it? I mean, that's not like a passive thing. I struggle with all the same stuff. All the same stuff. That's how I know about this stuff, because I live it myself. I was the worst, and I'm probably still a work in progress. Whatever thought popped into my head, and maybe it's because I'm from New Jersey, happy thoughts never just pop into my head. Cynical thoughts, suspicious thoughts, sarcastic thoughts. I was, I'm not by nature like a, oh, la, 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 la. I wish I was. The thoughts that just normally pop into my head is like, what's wrong with her? What's up with that outfit? What was he thinking? What's he wearing? You know, critical. That was our idea of humor, was picking people apart. You ever watch sitcoms? That's what they're all out of New York. They're all written by my fellow New Jersey, New York type people. We love to poke fun at people and be critical. That's our idea of having a good time. Just being honest. So I pretty much every thought I think I have to take captive and make it obedient. So it's not, please don't think there's something unusual or something mysterious or wrong with you. Look, I think this is, we have to have a command here, because I think it's probably the human condition. Left to ourselves and the thoughts that just want to naturally float into our mind, it's not going to be a winning life. It's not going to help us. It's not going to serve us. And then you add on the media, all the negativity, everything in the media is telling you, you know, look, it's all about advertising. And the only way they can sell you something is to tell you that who you are right now and is not good enough. And what you have right now is not good enough. And your spouse isn't good looking enough. And you're not good looking enough. And you don't have the right car. And if only you had this in your house, and you got to try this. You're bombarded with the media. Everything that the media is bombarding you with, I can't imagine any of it's doing you a whole lot of good. That's why the Bible commands us. It's like, look, you're going to have to be on high alert. You're going to have to take your thoughts captive, take a look at that thought and say, is this thought helping me right now? Or is this thought making me depressed? Is this thought, if I just sit here and go and nurse and rehearse this thought, is this going to make me a better person? Is it going to make me happier? Is it going to make me more empowered? What is this thought doing for me? If it's not working in my favor, then I'm going to take it captive and I'm going to make it obedient. It doesn't want to be obedient. I'm going to have to make it obedient. So this is a command. This is a very proactive. And I think that we tend to be extremely passive in our thinking. I know I am. And that is never going to work. You have a slave-master relationship with your thoughts. Either you're the slave to whatever pops in your precious little head, or you're the master. And you say, you know, I'm not going to think that thought. That thought is not helping me. That thought is not going to take me anywhere I want to go. So you know what thought? You got to go. I'm in charge. I'm the master. I'm not thinking you. Bye-bye. Go away. You're not noble. You're not excellent. You're not praiseworthy. You're not helping me. Goodbye. I'm not thinking you. And then proactively choosing thoughts that are going to help you. You know, think about what you're thinking about. Notice what you notice. This is so powerful. Write this down. Notice what you are noticing, because what you are noticing shapes your life. And specifically, it shapes how you feel. Here's a test you can take for the health of your soul. How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now? Are you feeling depressed? You feeling defeated? You feeling sad? You feeling happy? You feeling joyful? You feeling peaceful? You feeling love? What are you feeling right now? You can do this at any moment. This is how you test your thoughts, okay? How am I feeling on a routine basis? How am I feeling right now at this very moment? How are you feeling? When you picked up the phone today to dial in, how are you feeling? Because there's only one thing that causes a feeling, and that's a thought. All thoughts, all feelings come from thoughts. I'm feeling depressed. You know why you're feeling depressed? Because of your thoughts. Now, it could be biochemical. I mean, I had postpartum depression, but I'll tell you what. So I know it's real. I get it. I'm not trying to be like not compassionate. I've battled with depression my whole life. And I know some of it can be biochemical, but I am telling you right now, thoughts release biochemistry. Your thoughts affect your biochemistry. Again, your thoughts affect your biochemistry. Your thoughts affect your biochemistry. All feelings are caused by thoughts. And who chooses your thoughts? Are you a victim? Are you the slave? Do your thoughts choose you, or do you choose them? This is really good stuff. I love you guys. I'm telling you some stuff here. You choose your thoughts. You decide. Are you going to be a slave to your thoughts? Or are you going to take a mastery? Are you going to take them captive? Are you going to make them obedient? You have, your brain can only process like so many things. Like right now, if your brain were to take in every single thing around you, you would have a nervous breakdown in the next half hour. So God designed your brain with a reticular activator. It's the RAS, the reticular activating system. Your brain notices what you tell it to notice. Again, your brain notices what you tell it to notice. It can't notice everything. It can't. You would die. Look around your room and see all the things that you could notice right now. Imagine if you were trying to notice all of them all at once. You couldn't do it. Your brain notices what you have told it to notice. Do you notice people rejecting you? Do you notice people treating you in an inferior way? Or do you notice things that aren't working? Or do you notice all the blessings? You notice what you have told your brain to notice. That's it. So tell your brain, say, hey, RAS, hey, reticular activating system, I want you to stop noticing everything in my life that's not working. I want you to stop noticing and alerting me to everything in my life that's evidence of what a loser I am. I want you to start noticing all the things I'm doing right. That's why we're doing that in the Facebook group. Notice, what did you do right today? And then your brain is looking for it. Notice what you're noticing and ask your brain to notice something different. Say, hey, brain, do me a favor. Just notice today. Notice everything I'm doing right. Notice all the things my husband is doing right. Notice all the ways that I'm being blessed. Notice all the ways God's love is showing up in my life. Notice all the ways that the favor of God is being demonstrated in my life. Notice all the ways I'm becoming healthier in my spirit, soul, and body. Notice that. That's what I want you to show me. Notice every time I am blessed. Notice everything good about my spouse. Notice everything happy about my past. Notice every hopeful sign about my future. You can reprogram your reticular activating system, and it's something only you can do. And you see, you know why this is helpful? Because your brain then becomes your ally. Instead of noticing, I always noticed any evidence. If there was a tiniest drop of evidence that someone was rejecting me, my brain was like, oh, did you see that? Did you see the way she looked at you out of the corner of her eye? Did you see did you hear that kind of tone in the voice there over there? My brain was always noticing evidence that people were rejecting me. Because I told my brain to notice that. I thought, everybody's going to reject me. I know they're going to reject me. So brain, do me a favor, be on high alert. And if you get the slightest evidence that someone's going to reject me, let me know about it right away. That's what I chose to notice. Some of you are just noticing all the food that tastes good. Brain, do me a favor. The one thing I care about more than anything in this world is food that tastes really good. So do me a favor, everywhere I go, notice all of the food that's filled with sugar and fat and yummy, yummy, yummy. Do me a favor, show me all the fattening food around me that I wish I could have that I, quote, can't have. Get a little distraction here popping up. Some people are not focusing over here. I noticed that people weren't focusing. I wonder why I noticed that. Notice what you are noticing and ask your brain to notice something different. Do you see how this is going to make your life easier? Because your brain feeds you thoughts. And if you tell your brain which thoughts to feed you, it's going to make it a lot easier to take the wrong thoughts captive. The wrong thoughts aren't going to come. Did that make sense to you? If you're telling your brain, just show me everything that's working. Just show me everything good in my life. Just show me everything I'm doing right. Show me all the things that I should feel great about. Then there's going to be a whole lot less negative thoughts to take captive. Begin at the beginning. Wake up every day and say, these are the thoughts I'm going to intentionally think today. That's why the affirmations are so powerful. And I hope you're listening to them. And I would love for you to write your own. Tell your brain what to notice. Brain, I want you to do me a favor. Show me every cute thing my kids do today. And I'm just going to focus on that. Show me everything right now that's working in my life that I can be happy about. Help me to notice all the healthy food that would really nourish my body and that could be tasty. Help me to notice good recipes that would work for me. Does this make sense? So that your brain becomes your ally. Your thoughts begin to become, your thoughts serve you. This is how you become the master of your thoughts. By telling your brain, hey brain, show me thoughts that are going to serve me. Show me thoughts that are going to move me forward. Show me evidence, any evidence that you can find that I'm becoming a healthy person in spirit, soul, and body. Just show me it. Show me all the ways that I could live healthier and happier and more productive. Just show me that. Does this make sense? That's all I want to see. Show me stuff that's noble. Show me stuff that's excellent. Show me stuff that's praiseworthy. That's what I want to say. Show me, remind me, hey brain, do me a favor. You've been listening to the 90-day renewal. You've been listening to all those audios. You've been watching all those videos. Do me a favor. Bring to my remembrance and show me all of the strategies that are going to enable me to get across the finish line. Because we've had a lot of information here on the SS Renewal. Tons of it. So say, brain, right now, I've got this sprint to the finish. I've got another 20 days. I know I can make a lot of changes in my life, but show me, brain, show me those things that God would have me focus on to really move forward in these final days. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to give you a tool. I'm almost tempted not to give you this tool, but I have to give it to you. Father, I thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just trust that this was a now word. That this is what you're wanting to say to your children. That they don't have to just be a victim of their thoughts and their emotions. That they can choose differently and break out of this cycle. You know, I know what I want to share with you. Hang on. I do have a couple minutes left, so I want to share this. There's a seven-step cycle that you go through. And I want you to write this down. I don't know if I've shared this anywhere in the class, but I want to go over this. The first step is that our thoughts affect our attitudes. Okay. If you're thinking negative thoughts, you're going to have a negative attitude. If you're thinking positive thoughts, you're going to have a positive attitude. It's that simple. Then step two, those attitudes affect our actions. Have you ever noticed that? If you've got a great attitude, then you're going to be positive and go do something, take a walk around the block. But if you've been thinking, oh, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, nothing's working, I'm not losing weight, that, oh, you know what, I give up. Then you've got a crummy attitude, and you're like, oh, forget it, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to go to McDonald's. This isn't working. I've been trying so hard, it's not paying off, I'm done. It affects your actions. Now, this is key number three. Our actions affect other people's reactions. Then your husband, why did you do that? You know, that it's not going to work, or your kids or your coworkers. Oh, gee, you know, just have the M&Ms, have the Reese's peanut butter cups. What are you doing that for? When we're not confident in what we're doing, people pick up on that. And it is an invitation for them to come in and sabotage you. Whereas when there's nothing more compelling than a person who's like, look, this is what I'm doing. I am all in. I'm in it to win it. God's changing me. I'm going from glory to glory. Get on board or get out the way because I'm going forward with God. People pick up on that and they react to it accordingly. Their reactions affect how we feel. That's number four. Their reactions affect how we feel. Oh, well, maybe he's right. Maybe, Maybe I should just give up. Maybe this isn't going to work. Maybe I never am going to change. The way people react, then that affects how we feel. See, and we think that we feel the way we feel because of the way people treat us. But actually, people treat us based on what our thoughts are. Did you see that? Our thoughts affect our attitude. Our attitude affects our actions. Our actions affect other people's reactions. It all starts with our thoughts. Number five, then how we feel, that makes us feel better or worse about ourselves as a human being, how we feel in that moment. Number six, that creates an atmosphere in our lives. And then finally, number seven, that leads to even more empowering or self-destructive thoughts, and we go back around the cycle again. I know I covered that really quickly, and I'll post it up on the board. But it all begins, the atmosphere of our lives and how we think, it all begins with that first thought. That's why the Bible commands us, take that initial thought captive. Choose your thoughts. And I'm going to make this the challenge for this week. This week, I want you to take your thoughts captive. I want you to proactively choose to think about what you're thinking about and to make a decision. I want you to make a list of five things. I know this is in the book, but I'm going to make it a challenge this week. I want you to write down what you want to think about that's going to help you feel better and do better. And you're going to begin to proactively think about it. Maybe the challenge is, this is what I'm going to tell my RAS to look for. This is what I'm going to tell my brain to look for. This week, my brain is only going to look for things that bring me joy. My brain is only going to look for things that bring me hope. My brain is only going to look for things that bring me peace. My brain is only going to look for things that make me more loving. My brain is only going to look for evidence that I'm growing in self-control. My brain is only going to look for things that are going to help me to grow in the area of self-control. My brain is only going to show me things that are going to empower me to finish strong. Our thoughts affect our attitudes. Our attitudes affect our actions. Our actions affect other people's reaction to us. Their reactions affect how we feel, which makes us feel even better or worse about ourselves, which creates an atmosphere in which we live. Anybody ever be in a joyful atmosphere or a depressed atmosphere? It becomes the atmosphere of our lives, leading to even more empowering or self-destructive thoughts. And the cycle goes around and around and around. And this can be a cycle that goes ever upward, ever upward, ever upward. Maybe you've been in a downward, downward, downward. All you have to do you see how easy this is? All you have to do is change one thing. Change the first thing on this. What is it? Your thoughts. Change what you're thinking about. And the easiest way to change what you're thinking about is to tell your brain what you want it to show you. You are the master. You are the master of your thoughts. The captain of your soul. The bishop of the soul of your garden. You're in charge. So tell your brain right now. Tell your brain. And come share it on the Facebook group. Tell your brain. This is what I want you to show me. This is what I want you to look for. Things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Things that are going to help me live the life, create the atmosphere that I want to live in. And that other people want to be part of. Because when you're filled with joy and hope and peace and celebration and love, everybody wants to be around you. Everybody wants to be around you. Are you lonely? You won't be lonely anymore. You create an atmosphere in your life that's filled with the presence and the power and the glory of God. Everybody will want to be around you. Loneliness, goodbye. Self-sabotage, goodbye. This is where it all begins. Right here. You choose, you decide, and it becomes an amazing spiral. You think in joyous thoughts. You've got a joyous attitude. Then you act like a joyous, happy, wonderful person. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, people start reacting to that. Then you feel even better about yourself. Like, wow, people like me. People want to be around me. People are inviting me places. People are like coming over to my house because they like my house now because it's filled with peace because I've made it peaceful. More empowering thoughts. It becomes your identity. Notice how you feel. Notice what you're noticing. Notice what you're noticing. Tell your brain, you know, I don't want to notice anymore every time my husband hurts my feelings. Don't even waste my time because I'm not going to think about it. You want to show me what's wrong with my husband? I'm not going to pay attention. You want to show me my kids making me crazy? I'm not listening. Stop showing me stuff that I don't want to think about. I want to think about things that are good and excellent and praiseworthy. I want to think about things that are going to fill me with joy and hope and peace and love and patience. Just show me those things. Stop wasting my time showing me thoughts that I'm just going to have to take captive and make obedient. Ain't got time for it. That's going to wipe me out. So don't even show me that anymore. You've spent enough time showing me what's wrong with my life and what's wrong with my past and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Stop. This week, we are going to be the master. We're not going to be slaves to our thoughts anymore. We are going to be the master. Holy Spirit, help it. Help us to make it so. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for leading and guiding. Thank you. Thank you for showing us a way forward. Thank you for being so practical. Thank you for being such a wise counselor. Thank you for being such a comforter. Thank you for reminding us today that we're not doomed. We're not enslaved. That there's a hope and a future for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so wise and so practical, so comforting and encouraging. We love you. Thank you. God, you are for us. You are for us, and you are moving us on from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We just love you so much. We love your word. We love your word. We love your ways, and we want to be more like you. Transform us. Thank you, God, that we still have plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time. Holy Spirit says you have all the time there is. You have your lifetime to become more and more the person that you want to be. There's time. There's all the time you need to become who God has called you to be. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Find your kick. Put a smile on your face, hold your head up high, and run to that finish line, knowing the minute you get across, we're all going to cheer, and then we're going to start another race. Hey, I love you guys so much. Thanks. Thanks. Just know, you know what? I love teaching you guys. I love this amazing privilege, and stand amazed that God would give me this privilege. And if you weren't here, it'd be really kind of, wouldn't be nearly as fun. So I thank you for being here at Women's Empowerment University. We love you. We value you. We pray for you. We're so grateful for your love and your loyalty and your commitment to one another. It just, you have no idea. You have no idea how much you mean to me and to the leaders. I thank my leaders. I love you guys. I know I don't do enough for you. I know I don't thank you enough. I could, not exaggerating or say, I couldn't do this without you. I couldn't. There's no way that the SS Renewal could just sail without the army of volunteers who work tirelessly and often thanklessly. Hey, do me a favor, guys. Would you go on the Facebook page and think about all the people who serve you day after day? Would you go on the Facebook page and thank them? And say, you know, I've been thinking about all the things that you do, posting up the videos and posting up the transcripts and posting up the infographics and all the things and praying for people and making sure everybody gets a thumbs up, you know, so nobody's left hanging. Would you go in there and just notice all the people who are serving and just thank them? Could you do that? We love you guys. I'm doing a call tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. I have no idea, you know, but we'll be back tonight for those who couldn't make it during the day. And we know about you double dippers, but just take a deep breath. No, the devil didn't cheat you out of anything. That was a lie. You're going to get a 97-day renewal just because of the mess ups in Fiji. And it's all going to work. We know that in all things work together for those who love God, that's you, called according to his purpose, that's you. So it's all going to work out for your good. Love you guys. And thank my servant leaders. You guys are the best of the best of the best of the best. I love you. I thank God for you. And I'll see you all in the Facebook group. God bless.